it's Monday, then that means one thing. It's time to mollywop.
Julio gonna watch it. Leave the yard.
Almost out onto I-93. Trevor Story having a night.
Uncensored, unscripted, and filled with the passion that all Mariners fans can relate to.
Oh, no. A three-run homer. Trevor Story. Backbreaker. Wow.
And brought to you by the company that's all about Seattle sports. Simply Seattle. Visit simplyseattle.com for the best Mariners gear.
Vasquez, Hernandez, and Bogarts, the runner's pitch. Oh, boy. Up and gone. A grand slam. This kid is on a rampage. Goodness gracious. Trevor Story with a grand slam, 4-0, Red Sox, third inning. Wow, what a run he is on.
Now with the Mollywop boys, Nathan Bishop from Dome and Bedlam, and Chris Crawford with NBC Sports Edge.
Next ball game, 7-3, Sox win it. Mariners road trip now 3-5. And the Red Sox have taken the first three games of this series. Long fly ball. Dylan Moore running out of room. It is gone. A grand slam to win it. 8-4.
Along with Kevin Shockey, here's Ian Furness.
Thank you, Root Sports, for those highlights. Here's a point of reference for you. When you're listening to the Root Sports games, if Simsy's on the TV call and you hear the words, oh no, or oh boy.
Or goodness.
It's never anything positive. And you heard a lot of that over the last four games. Well, 1 week ago, fellas, we sat here and things were just hunky-dory, taking 2 of 3 from the New York Mets. We're all feeling good. I think we all felt like, you know, the Mariners did something good for Kevin Shockey and his Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, knocking off their rival was just a good, warm, happy, fuzzy feeling. Well, 7 days later, that's not the case. The M's just get absolutely slapped around in Boston. And let's be honest, they lost the game before the Grand Slam yesterday. I'm not sure why we have replay in baseball. That makes no sense to me. Why are we bothering with it? I mean, my God. But nevertheless, they had another chance to get out of it. They didn't. They lose. And now here they stand, 42 games into the season, 17-25, 10.5 games out of the division lead, 5.5 out of the wild card. For the, hey, don't worry, it's early crowd. Kevin, is it early?
Well, my opinion is that once you are a quarter of the way through the season, it's not quite early anymore. And my math says we've reached that point.
Before I get to Nate and Chris, for the, hey, don't worry, this happened last year crowd, after 42 games, they were 21-21. They were 4 games out of the division lead and 2.5 out of the wild card lead. They are falling fast and quick. So, fellas, welcome in. On that happy, happy note, or as Rick Riz would say, on those happy totals, here we are for a Mollywop Monday. Big thanks to Simply Seattle, simplyseattle.com. They got all your gear for all your local teams, simplyseattle.com. I'm going to challenge both Nathan and Chris, not this segment, but next segment. This is our little homework assignment to kind of percolate on over the next few minutes before we get to our second and final segment today. I'll ask you guys this at about 1:30. Why will it or can it get better? We ask you guys that coming up in the next segment. But we start with this. Nathan, your opening statement on where this baseball team is after a 3-7 road trip and 8 games under .500.
Well, I think the answer to your question a little bit ago there is that it's awfully early in the season for it to feel this late in the season, because the math is, as Kevin alluded, is really bleak, guys. I think Fangraphs has them just under 7% on their playoff odds to make the playoffs. We're a quarter way through the season. I think before this road trip, I said anything less than 4-6 was a disaster. They had a chance to salvage it. To be perfectly honest, I think they're lucky they won 3 games on that road trip. They played well in all of 1 game. They look like absolute dog you know what right now. And to be honest, guys, it's unbelievably frustrating. And I would love to hear some commentary from the people in charge of this organization and in charge of putting together this roster, how in a supposedly contending year we are supposed to sit here and deal with a 17-25 baseball team. I'm unbelievably frustrated.
Chris Crawford on NBC Sports Edge. You've got the with the latest call up, your latest projection, top 10 prospects out there, none of which are in Seattle. I guess, I don't know, they're all here probably. but that is up there right now at NBC Sports Edge. I'll ask you the same thing that I asked Nathan.
So right before we were on the air, I got a notification that my internet connection was unstable. And that's a pretty good sign of what the Seattle Mariners are right now. Their connection to this playoff race is very much unstable. They don't look like a good baseball team. Nathan hit the nail on the head. They played well in one of those 10 baseball games. They easily could have gone 1-9, 2-8. Now, to be fair, they also could have gone 6-4 and 5-5. There was a couple of close losses in there, you know, if you wanted to play that positivity game. This team stinks. They're not a good baseball team. They are a below average offense. They have a well below average bullpen. I was just looking at our good friend Ryan Divish, who is better at the talk the text line than he is at reporting, but you know, still does a pretty good job. Ranked 24th. They're the 24th best bullpen if you go by wins above replacement, which is a flawed statistic, but still the statistic that, you know, this team was among the best bullpens in baseball last year. It's among the worst in this year. And we talked about how that was going to be an issue, how bullpen stability is not a real thing. Unless you've got superstar players like Josh Hader or Liam Hendricks or those type of guys, it just doesn't happen. This is not a good baseball team.
Kevin, it's not early. It's not early. No longer is it early.
It's not. I mean, and the thing is, if you take an entire team, just to talk a little bit about the war thing there, if you take an entire team over a quarter of a season, that's a significant sample size.
Yeah.
That is a real problem. And it's one of the things that they were talking about being like, hey, we have this going for us going into this year. And it feels like they were counting on something that's just not something you can count on. And it's really hard to find right now something that they are good at.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's good individuals, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can say there's good individuals, right, guys? I mean, Julio Rodriguez is a good individual. Logan Gilbert's a good individual. I mean, you can find some good individual pieces along the way. Listen, there's a lot of talk about, you know, when will heads roll, whose head should roll, and all that kind of stuff. Nathan, let's just take a step back for a second. And I mean, this is what we want to do, and I think this is what we deserve as sports fans today. I think we can honestly do this. Where does the blame lie right now for 17-25?
Straight up, it starts at the top. I mean, ownership had, since they decided to blow this up at the end of the 2018 season, and we sat offseason after offseason after offseason from 2019 through 2021 while they sat on their thumbs during prime buyers markets telling us, no, it's not time. The window isn't open yet. The window hasn't opened yet. And we're going to roll these savings into leveraging our window as soon as that opens. And then coming in, what did we hear at the beginning of this offseason? I am ready to transact. That's the big quote, right? Right coming into the offseason. Robbie Ray fell into their laps because he's not vaccinated and he couldn't pitch in Toronto anymore. So he came running out of the AL East looking for a team to sign with. What else did they do this offseason to show that they were going to step up and change the narrative around this organization? They did nothing. And that's above Jerry Dipoto. As much as I don't think he's done a great job putting this roster together, I would love to hear from John Stanton, a minority ownership, anyone in charge there, how they feel right now. Do they think that we still should be out there supporting a baseball team after this? It's been 21 years since we've been in the playoffs, for crying out loud.
Chris, could they have done anything more?
I mean, it's a shame that they didn't trade for Trevor Story. I know they had to give up a lot of prospects to get that guy. It would have been really interesting to see how they could have gotten a guy like that. It's not like he was like on the market or anything like that. No, there were guys like, you know, Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber, those guys just weren't available. You know, there's that logjam in the outfield that Kevin loves to talk about so much. There's just this huge logjam. They had so many opportunities to make this team better in both the starting rotation and in the lineup. I get not making a move for a bullpen guy. They made the move for Ken Giles. That hasn't worked out, as we can tell, because I have pitched in as many games as Ken Giles has for the Seattle Mariners. It's just a frustrating situation because you don't know who to really put the blame on, because Jerry Dipoto, in his interview with you, Ian, I think he was pretty clear about the fact that he didn't want to spend a bunch of money if he thought he already had guys who could get the job done. I think he was pretty blunt about that. So it's tough to know exactly what the situation is. Either way, it's a failure. And at the end of the day, the general manager is responsible for building a roster that is supposed to take you to the playoffs. And you cannot watch this baseball team and tell me that they are even moderately close to being a playoff team right now.
Chris, I think, didn't you mention you compared Sark to
yeah, I saw that tweet today from Alex Kita, and I think it's a really interesting one. Yeah. Because, you know, he took over a mess, and that mess wasn't so much Zarenzik's mess. Zarenzik didn't do a very good job, if we're being completely honest with you, but he took over a situation from Bevesi that was 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag. Just absolutely among the worst situations in all of baseball. And I made the in our group DM to take you guys behind the thing. He's done the Boy Scout thing where he's left the situation a better place, but that's not good enough. It is not good enough to just have a better situation. The Mariners need to be competing for playoff spots, and this team right now isn't close.
Well, this wasn't the year that we were supposed to be just putting it in a better situation than we came in.
Right.
I think that's what's most frustrating is that I feel like a lot of us fans, people that watch regularly, whatever, are kind of still feeling those same messages that we've been feeling and saying and hearing for the last few years. And like at some point, you do have to move on to the next, okay, we're getting better. Okay, yep. Now we have to do it. Now we have to win games. And it's funny, you know, going into last week, the team wasn't killing it or anything like that. But they won two or three games against a really good Mets baseball team. And in a year where wins are supposed to be number one, the number one job is to win the games this year. It's not all of the other, we need to get better. We need to win games so that we can win games in the playoffs. So that's why last week I thought it was right for our tone to be positive. Look, everything's not great, but when you win two of three against the Mets, you put yourself in a good spot to actually compete. But then when you come out of that with 1-6 over the next seven games, including four against a subpar baseball team, it's all bad. So, yeah, in the past, the whole Boy Scout leaving, you know, picking up trash on your way out of the campsite, whatever, fine. We're not trying to live in a damn campsite anymore. It's time to live in a 5-star hotel.
Well,
let's go.
And I think there's a great debate last night on the Golf Channel after Justin Thomas came back and win about world golf rankings and, you know, what matters. And, you know, the debate, part of it was, like, how much do you put into winning? Like, actually winning a golf tournament, right? Like, that should be, and the world golf rankings put a lot into that. Which is weird because it's pro sport and it's about, wait for it, winning. That's something that just doesn't happen here. I know we sound like a broken record. Right now I'm sure our text line 49451, Tullamore Dew text line. Kevin, when it's game time.
It's Tully time, Ian.
Talk back Mike on the iHeartRadio app as well. You can fire off there. I mean, here goes Furness again. Same old, same old. I don't want to be that. Like, I want to come out and say, hey, these games are exciting to watch. They're relevant. They're fun. This is a team that's in it. But here's the harsh reality. You know, I don't know what the exact numbers would be. Nobody knows because we can't look into a crystal ball. But when you're 10 games out right now of your division, to compete for your division, you're going to have to play four times as good as you're playing right now. And then on top of that, you're going to have to hope the two teams, well, now three, above you are playing significantly worse than they are right now the rest of the way. That's a lot of hoping and wishing. And I think my buddy Sam Meyer posted, for you 12s, it's a 2-4 record for the NFL. Well, let me just point out, if you're 2-4 in the NFL, and I don't think the math's exactly right. Sandy's good at a lot of things. Math's not it. But let's just say it's 2-4, 2-5. That right-hand column in football, the reality is there, if you get past 4, 5, or 6, you're not winning your division. You're just not going to win your division. So the stupid stuff about how it's early anymore and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't matter. But the question is, what's next? Roster construction was an issue, guys. I'll give you an example. Cal Raleigh, they just didn't address the catcher position. I know there weren't a lot of guys out there. But to rely on Tom Murphy, a career backup, effectively, Louis Torrens, who's not a catcher, and then hoping Cal Raleigh, this is where I think there could be some criticism for Jerry DePoto. Cal Raleigh's a guy that they had penciled in, right, Chris, as their catcher of the future, right? Is that am I right on that?
100%. Definitely the catcher of the future.
He, in 16 games this season with 2-plus plate appearances, he's 0-for. 12 of his 16 games when he's had more than one plate appearance, i.e. just not coming in as a defensive replacement, he hasn't got a hit. He's hitting sub-100. We don't need any metrics to tell us that's awful. J.P. Crawford, how scared are we about him, Nathan? He is 6 for his last 37, 162, 11 Ks in that process. Are we worried about J.P. Crawford, Nathan?
No, this is just who he is. And we had this conversation on the air, too, and I don't like having to repeat ourselves either, but this guy – I mean, his whole career is built off having an incredible hot streak, immediately followed up by correcting it back. And he just ends up being, you know, a slightly average to above average offensive player. So I'm not really worried about him. I did have hope when he was hot that he may actually make the Mariners look smart for not spending any money on Trevor Story.
And let me jump in with this, and I want Chris to respond. Do you have the Jared Kelnick soundbite? Okay. Mike Curto on Friday with us. Jared Kelnick, by the way, 15 strikeouts in 27 AAA at-bats. Let me repeat that. 15 strikeouts in 27 AAA at-bats since being sent down.
Do you think he's having fun? That's what he was supposed to go down and do, right?
Have some fun. Get your head right. Mike Curto, voice of the Rainiers, on Friday talking about Kelnick.
He's played three games since being sent down. He's looked kind of timid at the plate in that he's taken a lot of pitches. He struck out a lot. He struck out 9 times in 14 at-bats. But he crushed that homer yesterday. But a lot of the strikes he's seeing have been called strike threes. It looks like he's got to get his aggression back. And it's kind of unfair to really judge him after three games right now. But he did not come down here and start crushing it right away. That has not happened. He's definitely being maybe a little overly patient at the plate.
And it's gotten worse. Again, 15 strikeouts, 27 at-bats. Chris, you said something last week that jumped out at me, and I'm sure it did to Nathan and Kevin as well. You mentioned that there is starting to be some concern about Jared Kelnick. Yep. Legit?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say this. Can encourage that he has driven the ball to the opposite field a couple of times recently, and because that is going to be the key for Jared Kelnick. The strikeouts are what they are. People are going to strike out a lot in baseball. This is just the way this game works right now. It's going to be whether or not he can make hard contact to the opposite field. And I have seen him do that in a few highlights, and that is great to see.
Good.
But you have to be worried. You need to be, if you're Jared Kelnick, you should be lighting AAA pitching up. And you're not doing that right now. There's been some good games, but there have been way too many bad games. I am absolutely concerned, and the league is absolutely concerned about Jared Kelnick.
Those are guys you're talking to. Nathan, you want to jump in real quick before
we get to break? It's not necessarily Kelnick related. It's more just the overarching theme here that you were talking about Cal Raleigh and the farm. And you know what, you guys? Coming into this year, they've gotten plus contributions from Julio Rodriguez, Logan Gilbert, and now George Kirby in their rotation. And frankly, if that's all they get, that's an amazing collection of young talent they've gotten to contribute to their 2022 roster. This is not a particularly unlucky team. Yes, they have some injuries. They have some underperformance. Jesse Winker has underperformed, but they've gotten a huge bounty of success. Julio Rodriguez has completely exceeded all of my expectations in center field. He looks like a future superstar, and they still are crap. So I just, you know, Jared Kelnick potentially flaming out, that's part of the deal. If you're going to build your team off of a farm system, you have to account for prospect flameout. That is part of what this is. And if they didn't account for that and they just like sat there and fantasy baseballed it and said, Cal Raleigh is going to be our guy, Jared Kelnick is going to be our guy, that's on them. That's a failure of the front office. Whether Jerry DePoto sold that to ownership or ownership forced him into that, that's a failure of system and roster construction from the top down.
All right. With that, we'll get to a break. We'll come back. Why will it or can it get better for the Mariners as they open up a series against Oakland tonight? Mollywop Monday, the boys, Nathan, Chris, and Kevin are all here. It's all brought to you by Simply Seattle at simplyseattle.com on Twitter, and you can also go simplyseattle.com and order online. It gets there like relatively quickly, does it not, gentlemen? You guys got your stuff right away when you ordered, like a day or two later?
Lightning quick.
Absolutely.
Lightning quick. So, yeah, go with it. simplyseattle.com. Back with more Mollywop Monday on 93.3 KJRFM.
93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ian Furness.
Mollywop Monday brought to you by Simply Seattle. How will it, can it, should it, is it possible for it to get better for your 17 and 25 Mariners who right now are below last year's pace when they had that miracle come from behind to push at the end to try to almost get to the postseason? One thing that could help perhaps would be the return of Kyle Lewis potentially to the lineup. Mike Curto, voice of the Rainiers, on Kyle Lewis and where he's playing and where he can play.
I don't think he's going to be playing the outfield anytime soon, but the Mariners are struggling on offense, as you are aware. So he is swinging it well here, and he's hit 3 homers in 9 games, and he's driven in a dozen runs, and he's hitting, you know, .320. He's given good at bats, especially for considering the guy basically hasn't played in a year. It's pretty amazing how well he's swinging it. So I think even if the best he can do is right now physically is DH 4 times a week, I think that helps the Mariners, doesn't it? If he can, if he can hit .250 with power, and DH four times a week, that helps their roster right now.
When he gets on base, does he look fast still? Does he look athletic? I mean,
he doesn't look fast. He's moving slowly. He had to turn it on to score from second on a hit one time in Salt Lake City, and he was able to do that. But he's obviously being very careful.
Well, that's fun. That's Mike Kirtle, the voice of the Rainiers.
It just sucks, man.
That's fun.
I thought we were doing positivity in this
thing. We are. Oh, Lord. I honestly, not having watched the Rainiers or known, I mean, you see the numbers, and I guess what's kind of remarkable is that what Kyle Lewis is doing, he's not legging anything out, and yet he's still putting up pretty big numbers. Whether it's Kyle Lewis firing the manager, I don't know, whatever it might be. We'll start with you this segment. Chris, what will it take, or can it get better for the M's?
It certainly can get better, and I will say, you know, I will do the cliche of that it can't get a heck of a lot worse, so it's going to get better in that way. If it gets worse, then we need to see total regime changes. If you lose the series against Oakland, there needs to be changes, by the way. But we'll go to the positive thing. First of all, besides former All-Star Justin Upton, obviously that's going to be a huge difference maker for the baseball club. And also probably tells you a little bit about the Kyle Lewis situation. If Kyle Lewis was ready to go, do you really think this team is signing Justin Upton to a major league deal and a no-trade clause, which is pretty ironic considering what happened about 9 years ago?
Tell people what happened.
So 9 years ago, Justin Upton was on his verge of being traded when this guy was one of the best players in baseball, and he blocked a trade to the Mariners. So
super.
Now he's on the team, and he can block any type of trade. I imagine the trade interest will be fairly small. But, you know, Justin Upton can help against left-handed pitching. They do have a weak schedule coming up. They have gotten, you know, some of the worst team or the better teams out of the way. They get to play some of the bottom feeders now. But if you play like you do against the bottom feeders as a bottom feeder, oh, this could get real ugly.
Nathan, why will it or can it get better?
Well, they're a better team than this. I mean, they're a 500-ish talent team. That's what we were saying coming into the year. And a 500-ish talent team has to have a lot of bad luck and a lot of things go wrong to go 6-19 over a 25-game span. Like, it's just Jesse Winker should hit more. Tom Murphy sounds like he's going to be out for a while. But Cal Raleigh, I know we just dogged on him. He has shown some flashes in the last week or so that make me think he'll get his feet underneath him. I think this bullpen can still get healthy and be an average to above average major league unit. I still believe in the offense's ability to hit. I think that's how it can get better. I think that what you're looking at when it gets better is a team that probably was never really going to win more than 82 to 84 games. And that's the problem. They need, in order for it to get better enough, they need to do what they did last year. And we keep pointing at that, guys. And we keep saying it. That was a once in a century dream. What happened last year, you just can't expect it again.
Well, they win 19 games your last month. I mean, that's the only reason they were back in it. I mean, it's not like June, July, and August were the light in the house on fire.
They were carried by one win games last year, and they're not even wins, yeah. dying in those. Yeah, they're 7-8 in one run games right now. So they're not even getting nailed there. They're just not incredibly lucky.
Nothing screams positive like a someone who's originally from Philadelphia. Kevin, why is it going to get better?
I find it really hard to be overly positive about the team right now, and I don't know. I mean, I think Jesse Winker will be able to hit a little bit more than he is right now. I think he's better than he's shown to this point. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel good about Mitch Haniger coming back and being able to play well again, because I don't think you can reasonably count on that. I don't know if you're ever going to be able. I don't see it. I'll be honest. I don't see it. So trying to be positive is basically just going to like be lying. I just don't see it. And I honestly, my question is, all right, it's May 23rd, a month from now. Are we going to already have shifted and be talking about who can they trade? Because that's where we're going.
Well, we talked last week. I think we talked last week on this show. I know I on the radio show at some point I talked about it, but I'm assuming it was this, about Chris going out and buying and being an early buyer, right?
Sure. Yep.
So before before manager gets fired or the sacrificial hitting coach gets fired, what have you, which that's just the way they do things.
And
here.
Might be coming the way they do things everywhere, and it's absolutely on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Before that happens, do you try to do something more aggressive than Justin Upton?
Yeah, I certainly would. I mean, first of all, there is this idea. We talked about this last year at the trade deadline, and I'm not going to go into how right I was about that last year. But you can go make moves for guys who can help you in 2023 right now, too. You can add guys like that. There's nothing preventing them from making this roster better this year and next year. If you want to tell me that they're not interested in a rent-a-player right now, being 10 games out of division, okie dokie. It says a lot about what you really thought about this team. But okay, there are guys available that you can go get for 2023 and 2024. They have plenty of talent on the farm system. This is still one of the best, even with Julio Rodriguez graduating and not being considered a prospect, one of the best farm systems in baseball. You absolutely can go grab one of those guys. It's just going to depend on how much you actually care about this 2022 season. You showed me in the offseason that you cared very little about it. You can show me on May 24th, or today even, what you actually care about this season.
Nathan, there's got to be a seed of doubt, by the way, that they care about the 2022 season or period in terms of, I'm talking about the guys ahead of Jerry DePoto, above that. You know, I mean, because we've talked about it before, what income's in and what the income is compared to what you're spending on payroll, It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And you know, this isn't the Mariners per se, but there was a story last month about the Pittsburgh Pirates, another notoriously thrifty team. They actually got inside their books a little bit and essentially showed that their payroll is covered pretty much purely by gate receipts from their games, not counting stream rights, not counting RSN deals or any of the other multiple revenue streams that a Major League Baseball franchise gets. So these, I mean, they, if they want to prove me wrong, like right now, I'm just going to say that I think they're full of crap and that they make money hand over fist and that they're profiting wildly all over us. If they want to prove me wrong, they can open up their books and prove me wrong. And I'd be happy to say I was wrong, but they're never going to do it. And until they do that, it's going to be very easy for me to say, I don't think these guys, I don't even think that it's a secondary concern for these guys. I think that they would sure like to have a winning baseball team because that would be fun. But first and foremost for them, this is a revenue generating income machine for them. They have figured out how to make this machine run perfectly clean, where they were even profiting in 2020 when they didn't have fans in the stands. I mean, and that's what's so frustrating is we get on the air and we scream and we bellyache and we call for change, but we don't have a lot of power at this point. We just have to hope that we live with a team that has a benevolent owner that's going to try to care, like a Mike Ilitch over in Detroit. And we don't right now. And so the other thing is we got to hope that we have a GM who's really, really smart. I would argue that we don't have one of those. Or we have to hope we get really, really lucky. And we got really, really lucky last year, and it wasn't quite enough. So it's really hard to know where to go at this point.
Chris, final thoughts from you.
But other than that, how was the play, Mr. Nathan? It's very frustrating to have this conversation. And if we had Molly Watt Monday in 2017 or 2014 or with New York Vinny in 1993 or whatever, it would be the same type of conversation that we'd be having right now. And it's unacceptable. We have to hold them to a better standard. It is not acceptable to keep telling us to see us rise when you don't give a crap about the fans. I'm tired of it.
Kevin, thought?
Man, I don't know. They just, it's the way that it's going right now. I can't believe. It sucks that we're in this position again.
Yeah.
That's all. It just
I'll be honest with you. I didn't think this would be the case. I thought worst case scenario, like when we're doing these shows and we're in the middle of May, towards the end of May, my thought worst case scenario, they'd be like hovering around 500. You know, and be like, you know, they're there. You know, there's six, maybe they're three or four. Well, again, let's go back to last year. Because everyone wants this is the favorite thing of the Mariner, of the DePoto supporting, you know, cast, like everyone that loves to support Jerry and what they're doing and everything. You know, look at last year, even the players, you know, when they come on, all, you know, we turned it around. Last year, 42 games, they were 500. They were 21-21. This year, 42 games are 8 games below 500. Right? So I mean, right off the get go, you're 8 games behind the pace last year that you had to have this massive comeback to get to. 10 games out of the division right now, 4 games out last year. At this point in time, if you were at 500 and 4 games out, I think we could have a lot more positive discussions.
Absolutely.
Fellas. I mean, right, Chris? I mean, just it'd be a totally different tenor.
It'd be a totally different tenor. And it would also be, you know, how they looked too. If they looked like they were really competitive in these games, or they looked like they were the better team and getting lucky, it would be a lot different. And I'm sure people are going to point out the fact that, you know, about this time last year, we had an emergency podcast after the no-hitter by John Means.
Was that the first or second no-hitter in May?
It was the second, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it was like two in like a week and a half or something.
And, you know, they were, I think they were 21 and 26, and things started to go right. If you expect that to happen, I have some bridges that I would just love to sell you, because it's not the same thing. That does not repeat itself. I have seen too many of these stories over my grumble years doing this to believe that that is repeatable. It is not the same thing, folks.
All right. shameless self-promotion before we go, Nathan, Doman Bedlam?
DomanBedlam.com. I have an article up this morning that talks a little bit more about what we talked about. Nathan underscore H underscore B on Twitter. And, hey, I thought about it. I think Robbie Ray is going to get rid of the big inning, and he's going to be fine. He looks really great.
Getting really unlucky. We didn't even get to the big inning, did we? Chris, NBC Sports Edge.
NBC Sports Edge, Crawford underscore MILB, Circling the Bases podcast on Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning, which I know is super early for everybody. I'm going to have John Morosi on the show, and I'm super excited.
Cool. That'll be fun. So, and you've got your top prospects up there. I just saw that story today. Just came out there as well. Kevin, you've got nothing to promote. We'll promote Daily Power Play. It's coming up in a second. First, big thanks, as always, to Simply Seattle, simplyseattle.com. Daily Power Play next on 93.3 KJRFM.